All right, church, let's grab our hymnals for our final song prior to the message today. Please, I'd ask you to open up with me to 259. Hymn 259, Revive Us Again, O Lord. We are in constant need of reviving because of the flesh. Flesh don't want to serve God. But so thankful for the Holy Spirit within. Love of Christ compels us to keep on going for Jesus Christ. 259, we're going to sing the first, the second, and the fourth. Well, stand, 259. Sing it to the Lord. We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above.
Hallelujah, thanks, glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thank the glory. Revive us again.
We praise thee, O God, for the Spirit of light, who has shown us a Savior and scattered our night. Yeah. Hallelujah, thank the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thank the glory. Revive us again. We pray this again. Filling heart with thy love, may it so be rekindled with the fire from above. Yeah. Hallelujah, find the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, find the glory. Revive us again. Please be seated, church. Good singing today. And please don't forget to pray for my dear wife. Wife is down with that flu bug. And she's normally very, very healthy and hardly ever gets sick. But lift her up to the Lord in prayer. All right, folks. Let's grab our Bibles at this time and open up with me, please, to the book of 1 Timothy. Go get over to 1 Timothy chapter 6 today for our message. The message that I have been wanting to preach for some time now. And the Lord said, today's the day. Thinking about all of the foolish opposition that the gospel faces today. And folks, I tell you, we're living in the last days of the last days, and we need to be faithful. The Lord is coming quickly. Amen. Oh, yes. 1 Timothy chapter number 6. I'll read two verses, pray and preach. I'd ask you to stand for the reading of God's holy word in honor and respect of the word of God. Look with me in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Look with me at verse number 20. The final words of Paul in the epistle, the first epistle to Timothy, are these. Verse 20. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some, professing, have erred from concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. Beloved, I want to call your attention to verse number 20. And Paul instructs the young preacher boy, his disciple Timothy, to keep the word of God committed to him and to avoid profane, that's wicked, and vain, that's worthless, babblings, that's speeches and murmurings, oppositions of science, falsely so called, Beloved, before I pray, I want to make a point in verse number 20. Most science today is not true science. We'll get into that. Father, how we thank you today for the Word of God. Lord, how we thank you for the preacher boy Timothy that Paul was fixing to raise up because he was getting ready to take his flight to glory. And I thank you, dear Lord, that Timothy did a fine job in taking over the ministry and the mission. Well, Father, today we have such opposition to the gospel, no different than it was in Paul's day or Timothy's. Lord, we thank you for the truth, the word of God, which cannot lie. We thank you, Lord God, that we know that in the beginning God created all things that do exist. Lord, it's just that simple because you said it. Lord, we just ask you to bless your word today as we preach on evolution, fact or fiction. Evolution, fact or fiction. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated, church. I want to bring a message today, folks, concerning this myth called evolution. I am sick and tired of people going around teaching your children and my children that we came from apes and monkeys, from an amoeba. I'm tired of people brainwashing society today into believing a lie of the devil straight out of the pit of hell of evolution. And I want to expose that heresy today. And notice again in verse number 20, Paul says that these clowns that oppose the word of God and call themselves scientists are falsely so called. They're not real scientists at all. Let me tell you why, church. If a scientist does not align his logic with the word of God, he is a false scientist. It's not true what he teaches, okay? True, there are, now let me finish here before I get nasty letters. There are true scientists in the world. There are scientists who believe the Bible. There are scientists who even set out to prove the flood of Genesis 6, the worldwide deluge, which is so easy to prove, it's silly. There are scientists who believe the Bible. So there's good scientists, there's true scientists. And Paul is warning the generation of his day. Folks, this is 2,000 years ago. How much worse do you suppose it is today? Now, verse 20 reveals the absolute fallacy of secular science to answer the questions of life. Science has no answer unless it lines itself with the Word of God. If we were to reduce all of the questions in the world down to only one question, it could simply be this. Did God make man, or did man make God? Because these fools want you to believe that man made God out of a figment of his imagination. That God is not real, that heaven is not real, there is no hell, there is no devil, and you'll be just fine, and just live it up, get all the gusto you can, and when you die, you'll just be annihilated. You won't exist anywhere. In other words, the question is man the special creation of Almighty God, or is God the figment of man's imagination? Now, the theory of evolution, as purported by Charles Darwin in his book, The Origin of the Species, claims, one, that all life descended from one single primitive protozoa. Two, and that from that protozoa, through mutation plus natural selection, life and various life forms evolved. So, the theory of evolution requires belief that nothing plus time plus chance equals everything. In other words, evolution believes that everything in the universe, all life, came to be from nothing. Folks, you gotta have more. You gotta have a whole bunch of faith to believe a nonsense like that. And if you do, I've got some land to sell you in Florida. I'm not gonna tell you it's swamp land. So in this message today, I want to state three indisputable reasons to reject the theory of evolution. three reasons to reject the theory of evolution. First, we must reject evolution for logical reasons. For logical reasons. Church, don't be deceived and confused by evil men like Bill Nye, the science guy, who claims that life evolved over millions of years from a single amoeba, which happened by chance and eventually morphed into intelligent life, possessing reason and will and psyche. But that's not true science, folks. Bill Nye is a liar. He is deceived by Satan. Listen carefully, brethren. I might get a little excited today because I want to expose the fallacy of evolution. Many scientists, through the years, listen, they've not and do not hold to the theory of evolution, including, but not limited to, Dr. Newton Tamasine, formerly of the Atomic Energy Commission. These are true scientists. They reject the theory of evolution. Dr. Robert Etheridge, formerly of the British Museum of Science. These are famous scientists I'm naming. Dr. Ambrose Fleming, past president of the Philosophical Society of Britain. Dr. Cecil Wakely, past president of the Royal College of Surgeons. Soren Lovtrup, Swedish embryologist, rejects evolution. Michael Faraday, Lord Kelvin, Joseph Lister, Louis Pasteur, Sir Isaac Newton, Johannes Kepler, Sir William Ramsay, Lord Francis Bacon, Samuel Morse, amongst many, many others who reject the theory of evolution. Why? Because they've come to the realization that true science disproves the myth of Darwin. Now listen, there are four questions that the evolutionist cannot answer. First, evolution cannot answer the question of the origin of life. Listen carefully to me. If life began spontaneously, as they teach, from a single molecule hitting the earth, then how did the molecule originate out in space before hitting the earth? And where did space come from? Where did matter come from? Where did time come from? Because spontaneous generation, or a fortuitous concourse of atoms, does not answer this question, the origin of life. Evolution is a philosophy. It's a theory. And for many, it's a religion, having nothing to do with Christianity or the Bible or truth. So-called scientist D.M.S. Watson once stated, and I quote, that evolution is a universally accepted theory, not because it can be proven, but because the only alternative, which is divine creation, is just too incredible to believe. This guy, Watson, is saying, you have to believe in evolution because surely you couldn't believe in a God of the Bible. That's too incredible to believe. Folks, it takes more faith to believe in this foolish evolution theory than to believe in the true and living God. Here's a second question. Evolution cannot answer the question, secondly, of the fixity of the species. Listen carefully now. Pay attention, beloved. Go with me to Genesis chapter 1. Evolution cannot answer the question of the fixity of the species, the various species. In Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created. God created. That's how we came to be, not through evolving. Look at verse 11. Verse 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind. Notice the wording. Whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. 12. And the earth brought forth grass, an herb yielding seed, after his kind. And the tree yielded fruit, whose seed was in itself, after its kind. And God saw that it was good. Now, the phrase, after its kind, occurs in Genesis 1 10 times. Listen now, this does not mean that there can be no varieties within the species. For example, we have many kinds of roses, don't we? But a rose is a rose, whether it be red, white, or yellow. There exist many kinds of felines, like Princess here. She, my Persian cat, She is she's a Persian cat. So she's a variety of the breed or species known as felines. Breeding and crossbreeding are possible. Indeed, there are dozens upon dozens of various dog breeds in the world. But a dog is a dog. It can never become a horse or a giraffe. This simply means that one species does not change or adapt or mutate into a completely different species. It's not possible. That's a scientific impossibility, which fact in itself disproves the entire theory of evolution. For example, you cannot turn a cantaloupe into a kitten, right? They're different. Now, listen to this. In our fossil records worldwide, no transitional life form can be found, period. Why? Because none exist. For example, let me give you some examples from their science books. Nebraska man. Nebraska man, found in the state of Nebraska. Said to be a 1 million year old primitive evolutionary ape man. Nebraska man was based off of the discovery of a single tooth by Harold Cook in 1972. But the tooth has been since proven to have been related to a species of wild pig. It came from a boar. In Java, in 1968, Dr. Eugene Dubois discovered a skull cap, a tiny fragment of a thigh bone and three teeth, to which he announced that he had discovered the missing link. These skeletal fragments became known as Java Man. They were given the scientific name of Pithecanthropus erectus, meaning erect ape man. However, the fragments were actually found over the space of a whole year in different locations, hundreds of miles apart, and not even from the same individual. Listen to me. Out of 24 scientists who examined the Java man, 10 said that they were the bones of an ape, 7 said they were the bones of a man, and 7 said they were half man and half ape. And you believe, listen to me, if you believe that Java man, folks, it's disproven. It was a farce. In 1934 came Piltdown Man. Remember him? He was believed by many in the scientific community to be proof of evolutionary man, the missing link. Until it was proven, more than 40 years after its discovery in 1976, that Piltdown Man was a hoax. And listen, in all of the geological and archaeological discoveries in the world, and all of the worldwide searching and digging, there has never been a single case of actual fossil or skeletal remains of a transitional species, because none has ever existed, folks. Do you realize if evolution was true, scientists, archaeologists, geologists all over planet Earth would be finding numberless cases of transitional species, but not one has ever been found. Thirdly, another question evolution cannot answer is the question concerning the second law of thermodynamics. Listen, what is the second law of thermodynamics? The second law of thermodynamics states, and I quote, "Energy can never be destroyed, but continually becomes less available for further work as it unravels." Simply put, everything tends to wear out and to run down. Meaning that everything is marked by death, decay, and disintegration. The universe is not evolving, folks. It is devolving because of the second law of thermodynamics, which is a scientific law. Romans 8:22. Go with me to Romans. I want you to see this. Everything is devolving. Everything is heading for a collision course with Jesus Christ. And in Romans chapter number 8, look at this verse. Concerning the creation, the earth, and all things therein. Look at it. Look with me at verse number 29. Look with me at verse number 19. Romans 8, 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature, that's the creation of God. Notice that the creation of God is waiting for something. It's expecting something to occur yet future. The earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. That's when we are glorified. For the creature, the creation, was made, not evolved, was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him, God, who had subjected the same in hope. The creation has hope. It's going to be renewed. Because the creature itself, the creation itself, also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption, the curse, into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Folks, this sin-cursed world is only temporal. Our future is glorious and eternal. 22. For we know, there's something you know that the scientists don't know. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also. Folks, listen to me. This verse reads clearly that the creation is devolving. It is absolutely suffering because of man's sin. Due to sin, there is a curse upon this whole creation. And therefore, it tends to wind down. Not to improve, not to evolve. The evolutionist, however, holds to the thought that over time, things become more complex and move toward precision rather than decay. That given enough time, disorganized things can become organized, but they fail to give one shred of evidence to support this theory. I'll tell you what, you want proof that everything is devolving? The second law of thermodynamics? Don't change your oil in your car for a year. See what happens. Your motor will seize. You won't be driving very much anymore. You'll blow your engine. Folks, you've got to maintain that everything that exists needs maintenance. And the Bible says that all things by him, Jesus Christ, do consist. That word consist in the Greek, it means held together. He is holding everything in the universe together, awaiting an appointed time. There's a fourth question that evolution cannot answer, and that is this question. How do certain properties exist that have nothing to do with the survival of the fittest, which they claim? For instance, where did music come from? And what is its relation to the survival of the fittest? Why is there music? How about, where did love come from? What does love have to do with the survival of the fittest, which they claim? Where did honor and dignity and respect come from? What's that got to do with the survival of the fittest? Where did we get the concept of Almighty God? Where'd that come from? Beloved, these questions cannot be answered by the survival of the fittest theory that evolutionists hold to. And as Spock would say, it is highly illogical to believe in evolution. Yeah, highly illogical. So first, we must reject evolution for logical reasons. But secondly, the second reason we must reject evolution is for moral reasons. For moral reasons. Now listen to me carefully, church. To believe that humanity is an accident completely takes away dignity, purpose, and morality. Because if there is no God, and man is simply an accident, then there are no Ten Commandments, no fixed standard of right and wrong, and no moral relevance. Man is no different than the animal creation. And the survival of the fittest is true, and we are all animals just fighting to survive. But the Bible clearly states that man, unlike the animals, was created in the image of God, and that he is responsible to his maker to live according to his laws and directions, not his own. Animals don't have that responsibility. Only humans do. So first of all, we must reject evolution for logical reasons. Second of all, today, we must reject evolution for moral reasons. But thirdly, Thirdly, we must reject evolution, most importantly, for theological reasons. Now, folks, listen to me. If evolution were true, then there would be no Garden of Eden, no original sin, no depravity, and man would not need to be born again, regenerated, because man would be simply getting better and better. And if Genesis chapter 3 were a myth, then John chapter 3 would be a farce. And Jesus Christ would be a liar. Because Jesus said in John 3:3, you must be born again. But evolution says you don't need new birth because you're getting better and better. You're evolving. Therefore, evolution teaches that there is no need for repentance because there was no fall. And we are all just temporal beings waiting to die and be annihilated like the animals. Brethren, here lies the bedrock foundational purpose for the theory of evolution. Listen to me. That man is not sinful, God is not real, and there is no judgment to come. So let's just eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Now, if there were no Bible, if there were no written record of God's requirements for mankind, that would all be fine and dandy. We could all go fishing right now, beloved. But the word of God is settled in heaven forever. And man is 100% accountable to the one who gave him life. You can deny the truths of scripture all you want. You can call God a liar, evolutionist, and you can kick and scream and complain all the way to the devil's hell if you want to. But that won't change one single jot or tittle of the eternal truth of this holy book. You can go on and believe in Darwinism and his heretical teaching of evolution, and you can perish forever in the lake of fire, my friend. Or you can believe God and his word, and you can be saved from your sin by his holy son, Jesus Christ. The choice is yours. And my humble advice to you today is simple. Don't believe Darwin. Believe the gospel. Call upon Jesus Christ, your maker, and repent of your sinful beliefs. Get saved today. Turn away from your religious teachings and traditions of men and be born again now before it's too late. Beloved, time is running out. You need Jesus Christ today. Whether you realize it or not, you need him. You need him more than you need anything else in your life. Anything else in the universe. He is the one. He is the only one who can save you from Darwinism and the false teaching of evolution. Evolution, fact or fiction? Complete fiction. In conclusion, life is not an accident, folks. We were created by Almighty God in his image, which is holy. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. God said, the Godhead, the Trinity said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And God saw that it was very good. Folks, you are not an animal. You are not a beast of the jungle. You are a human being created in the image of a holy God. And you are responsible to him. Don't believe me. Read the Bible. Believe God. We are so precious to God that he sent his only son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to pay the penalty for all our sins. In John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his world, God sent not his son into the world, verse 17, to condemn the world, but to save us from our sins. Folks, the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, buried, and rose again on the third day, like the Bible says. He invites you to come to him today. Revelation 3, verse 20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door unto me, I will come in and sup with him. Jesus says, I am knocking on your heart's door. The question is, my friend, will you open the door of your heart today and let Jesus Christ in? Will you receive him personally? as your Savior from sin? Will you receive the blood atonement of His cross to wash away, white as snow, all of your sins from your soul and receive the gift that He has for you today? That gift is eternal life. You can't get it through religion. You can't get it through evolution. You can't get it through secular humanism. You need Jesus Christ. He's the only one. Now, in Matthew 11, verse 28, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Folks, He's the only one that can give you rest for your soul. He's the only one who can save you from this sin-sick world. He's the only one that can save you from the devil's hell. The hell was not created for you. Hell was created for the devil and his fallen angels. But how many people die and go there and burn forever, as the Bible says? Why? Because they believed in some foolishness like evolution. They were deceived by the devil, as was Darwin. Accept Jesus Christ today, and you will know the truth. You will know your Maker. You will know the fallacy of evolution, and your eyes will be opened at last. In closing, let me give you this. When I was a child in grade school, I remember it had to be about the third grade that my teacher began teaching my class the theory of evolution. I remember her saying something about this man, Charles Darwin. He discovered evolution, how that we came from the monkeys and we began to walk upright and we became human. And I believed that garbage. I was a little kid. I didn't know any better. And that was a lie out of the pit of hell. And I thank God He saved me from that mess. I thank God He showed me the truth. I know my Maker. I know the truth because I know Jesus Christ. Folks, listen to me. My heart breaks today for the multitudes, the millions, and even billions of children today that are being taught the heresy of evolution. Children believe what you tell them, people. That's why it is so important, Christian education, that teaches our children that God made us, that Jesus is God, and He is our Creator. He gave us the breath of life, and we need to worship Him and honor Him and love Him and serve Him. Oh, folks, we're living in a world of such deception today. I implore you, in the name of Jesus Christ, today, to get saved and teach your family the truth of the Bible, that they might be saved as well. Father in heaven, how we thank you today for the message from your word. Lord, I love how Paul put it by the Holy Ghost in verse 20. He said, "Avoid vain babblings of men, of science, falsely so called. Evil liars is what they are. They know not the truth. They know not the light. They desire not the knowledge of God. They say, 'Depart from us. We desire not the knowledge of thy ways.'" How sad is that, oh God? But I thank you, Lord, for true scientists that are alive and promoting the truth of Scripture. Lord, true science proves the truth of the Bible. True science perfectly lines up with everything that your Holy Spirit has recorded in this holy book. I am so thankful for that, Lord. How much proof do we need? You've given so much more, Lord God, than we need. We thank you for it today. And oh God, I pray that many, I might hear from some this week, that many will come, as a result of this message, will come to the foot of the cross, to Jesus Christ, and be born again, washed in the blood, and receive the Holy Ghost. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would deliver the masses from the false teaching of evolution. I pray that you would use this word to bring many to salvation. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. Folks, let's grab our hymnals at this time. We will sing one in closing. And indeed, it is a seriously appropriate one indeed. I want you to open up with me to work hymn 130. Hymn 130, I am so glad that there is still power in the blood. Always has been, always will be. The power is in the blood, not in Darwinism. We're going to sing the first, the second, and the fourth of hymn 130. We'll stand and have a time of invitation here. 130. Sing it to the Lord. Yes.
Be free from the burden of sin, the burden of blood, burden of blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder working power in the blood. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Now, would you be cleansing till Calvary's tide? There's wonderful power in the blood.
Yes, there is!
There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb on the fourth. Would you be servant for Jesus your King? There's war in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? His wonderful power in his blood.
Yes,
there is power, power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power.
Singing today, church. Praise the Lord. As these are at the altar praying, I'd ask you to be dismissed silently. Don't make a ruckus. We don't want to disrupt what's happening, what God is dealing with hearts. And I thank you for being in God's house today. We look forward to serving the Lord this week and tell somebody the truth of the gospel. They need the gospel of Jesus Christ, not the theory of evolution. Father in heaven, how we thank you today for the truth of the Word of God. How we thank you for the admonition, the warning we find in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20. Lord, though there be many oppositions of science, falsely so called, we thank you for the truth which cannot change. We thank you for the truth of Jesus Christ found in the Word of God, the King James Bible. Father, we love you today. And we're so glad that you have chosen to give mankind the sacred text, the Word of God, and that you promise to preserve it to all generations. Lord God Almighty, we thank you for the knowledge of the truth. We treasure it today, O God. We treasure it because the truth sets us free. We're not deceived. And we cannot be because of thy Holy Spirit and Word. Through Jesus Christ, we thank you. Amen and amen. Folks, let's dismiss with, we'll keep her down.